Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A new week starts right here, right now on Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. A little bit chilly in the East Coast and even in our illustrious studios, thus the double jacket for your boy today. But what is not chilly is everything that we will break down here on FFC. It's cold outside. It's Christmas week. Of course, you have been watching everything around the National Football League and the opening round of the college football playoff. Joe, that is our task today as we get ready on Football Full Circle. Looking back on the Week 16 Sunday slate, what it means for the playoff chase in the remainder of this season in the first round of the first ever 12-team college football playoff as well.
Yeah, this past weekend was absolutely amazing in terms of the college football playoff. We saw those home games, the environment in terms of college football, the pageantry, the intensity, that really encompassed everything that the 12-team playoff was supposed to be, right? Did it live up to the billing, Ben, in terms of the games on the field? No, not necessarily with the blowouts that we saw, but it didn't matter because what we did see in terms of those home games, I want to see them continue throughout the coming years. And in the NFL, we also saw teams step up and keep their playoff hopes alive. Teams like Cincinnati, teams like Miami. And we saw a battle in Seattle that went right down to the wire. And all Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings do, baby, is they win football games. Amazing effort, 13-2 overall. And this is the final stretch run before the playoffs. Can't wait to see how it plays out in the NFL.
Win football games, cover football games, and earn those playoff spots. That is the task for everybody around the National Football League still in the chase. And Joe, even if you might not earn a spot, you don't want to be eliminated just yet. All the clinching scenarios, all of the eliminations that we saw from this previous weekend in just a little bit. And of course, we will dive into the opening round of the college football playoff. Many a sweeping hot take around the industry this weekend, Joe Lisi, that I think we will combat a little bit here on this week of Football Full Circle. So let's start by looking back on the Sunday slate in week number 16. We'll go to Sunday night, Lisi guy, because a lot to be determined in a game where one team had already found out they were not going to be in the playoffs, and another was trying to hold on to pole position and first place in the NFC South. That would be the Buccaneers and the Cowboys in Dallas Sunday night at the Star. And the Cowboys play, spoiler, eliminated from postseason consideration earlier on Sunday with a Washington win that we'll talk about against Philadelphia in just a moment. But the Cowboys pull off the outright upset as a 4.5-point home underdog on Sunday night over Baker Mayfield and his Buccaneers, 26-24, the victory for Dallas. Joe, two different angles of looking at this. The Cowboys out of the playoffs, but still showing they have something to fight for, whatever that is, we shall discuss. And a big blow for the Buccaneers, who now, based on the tiebreaker, look up at the Atlanta Falcons in the top spot in the NFC South.
Yeah, amazing. I mean, a high-scoring game, and when you just think about it, it ekes over the 48.5 total, you know, that Vegas and New Jersey had. But, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, when the pressure's off, all of a sudden now they're playing their best football, right? Cooper Rush did make some plays. We saw another dynamic performance out of C.D. Lamb, 100-plus yards. And the defense now, all of a sudden at the end of the regular season, has become opportunistic. Now, what does that mean in terms of the offseason for Mike McCarthy? I think a lot of people, if you ask around Dallas, believe he'll be there for 2025. We'll see how that plays out. But for Baker Mayfield and Tampa, this team was playing so well. They had an offensive identity. Once Mike Evans came back, they were running the football effectively. They were within striking distance for all the whole game. And then at the end, the critical turnover really seals the deal. You know, the turnover with Rashad White. So we'll see how this plays out. I still believe Tampa, still, even though they lost the head-to-heads to Atlanta, could still pull out the division, but they're going to need to step up on both sides of the football over the next couple of weeks.
We'll talk about what remains for Tampa and Atlanta in just a moment, the remainder of the way. But Joey, letdown spot the Buccaneers really could ill afford, right? 4.5-point road favorite at the Star, where Dallas entering week 16 was 1-6, both straight up and against the spread. Not covering games at home by an average margin of 15 points per. The only win, the only cover entering this weekend was against the Giants on Thanksgiving. Dallas wins a game that maybe they shouldn't have to better improve their draft position. But Joe, I think what you mentioned, the future of Mike McCarthy, the buy-in from his players, his staff, his roster, what will that mean moving forward? Only Jerry Jones really knows. Of course, Mike McCarthy not under contract for the future moving forward as of right now. I don't think they should keep him, but we shall see. Lisa Guy for the Buccaneers, as you alluded to. They got the football back with just over a minute remaining. Baker Mayfield defying any sort of a sack from Dallas, pitches the ball off to Rashad White, who got hit, and as he was working for extra yards, had the football taken away from him by Deron Bland. That ended the game, a Dallas defense that has mightily struggled this year, making a play when it mattered most. The reason, Joe, that the Buccaneers are no longer in that top spot in the NFC South is twofold. One, they don't have the tiebreaker against the Falcons, but now they also no longer have the better record. Bucs, 8-7. Falcons, 8-7 as well. As in the starting debut of Michael Penix Jr., Atlanta absolutely routs the New York Giants 34-7. The Falcons cover as an 8.5-point home favorite. Total of 43.5 stays under. Penix was serviceable, not tasked with doing much because Atlanta was expected to win the game by so much. Bijan Robinson, 94 yards on the ground, multiple rushing scores, and two pick sixes for that Falcons defense as well. That's the difference to get a victory for Michael Penix Jr. in his starting debut in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's what you would expect out of a rookie quarterback. People thought that Michael Penix would come in and it would be like his days in Seattle where he's going to chuck for 450 yards per game. That wasn't the case, right? They did move the football consistently, especially in the first half, built a double-digit lead. It could have been more. Kyle Pitts bobbles the football and the Giants intercept it in the end zone. That gave them some life. But when you have two pick sixes by Drew Lock, and that offense is completely inept for the New York Giants, they weren't challenged at all. So the big picture for Atlanta is in week 17 and 18, respectively. Can Michael Penix do it against better competition? And the pressure's on them right now because they're both 8-7. They have the head-to-head against Tampa with two critical wins. Now, can they maintain that over the next couple of weeks? That'll be really the telltale sign whether Michael Penix could be the future and the face of the franchise.
But Tampa is the favorite still to win the NFC South, that even though after week 16, the Falcons sit back in first. Why? The Buccaneers' remaining schedule over their final two, much easier. Hosting the Carolina Panthers and then playing the New Orleans Saints. Atlanta has a very difficult matchup week 17. It's Sunday Night Football next weekend as the Falcons will head to Landover, Maryland, to take on the Washington Commanders. In Landover, the Commanders a 4.5-point home favorite against the Dirty Birds, a step up in competition. In Washington, Joe, 10 wins in a regular season for the first time since 2012, based on a dramatic comeback in another heroic game-winning drive out of the rookie Jaden Daniels. 5 turnovers the Commanders overcame by number 5. That's the number for Jaden Daniels. And his 5 touchdown tosses, including one to Jamison Crowder with only 6 seconds remaining in regulation to give Washington a win over Philadelphia. The Commanders keep the Eagles from clinching the division. Plenty more from the matchup and the best one on Sunday's Week 16 slate. Next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. We continue our recap of week number 16 in the Sunday slate around the NFL, what it means for the remainder of this season. Joe, the best game of the Sunday slate in week 16 was in Landover between the Commanders and the Eagles, a divisional duel that if Philadelphia won outright, they would clinch the NFC East for a second time in the last 3 years. And it looked very early on like Philadelphia would do exactly that. The Birds, a 3.5-point road favorite, riding a 10-game win streak. But early in the opening quarter, Jalen Hurts on a scramble, injured, stood up a little wobbly, went to the medical tent in concussion protocol. Enter Kenny Pickett, who did not have to do much early and often because Saquon Barkley, who ran for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, had more than the century mark, Joe, in the opening quarter. But then Washington started its comeback. Philly had multiple 2-touchdown leads in the opening half. But by the time we got to the early going of the fourth quarter, the Commanders took a 28-27 lead. Jake Elliott buries a 50-yard field goal under 4 minutes remaining in regulation. The Birds back in front 30-28. Jaden Daniels throws an interception, his second of the day on the ensuing offensive possession. 5th turnover for Washington in the football game. But then Philadelphia with a chance to clinch and a chance to seal the deal, over 2 minutes remaining right before the 2-minute warning. 3rd down, Devontae Smith open over the middle. Kenny Pickett delivers it. Dropped by Devontae. The Commanders get the ball back after a Jake Elliott field goal. They need a touchdown. They drive basically the length of the field after a good kick return to do just that. 6 seconds remaining in regulation. Jaden Daniels from 9 yards out to Jamison Crowder. Washington wins outright 36-33 as a 3.5-point underdog in a miraculous and dramatic comeback led by the Rook once again.
And he sealed the deal for the Offensive Rookie of the Year, right? That performance, no doubt, yeah. Battle-tested in big games, and they did have a little bit of a lull in the middle of the regular season. But Jaden Daniels has elevated this whole team. They believe that they can win these games. It certainly looked different from the first time that they played on that Thursday night in the Link. It was a short week. Offensive game plan was very conservative. Jaden Daniels, I want to say, was hand-tied by the play calling in that matchup by Cliff Kingsbury. But this matchup, they threw caution to the wind. And let me just say, that defense stepped up when it had to. And at the end of the day, Jaden Daniels, 5 touchdowns. Who was it? People were talking Jaden Daniels was a fraud. I don't remember. You know, all he did was win meaningless football games in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This guy's a winner, baby. Jaden Daniels will elevate Washington, not just this year, but for the next 5 or 6 seasons. The kid's a gamer, best offensive quarterback that we've seen come out of this class. Hands down, he did it with his legs, did it with his arm yesterday. And look at the players that stepped up. Jamison Crowder, right? You had Zacharias that stepped up as well in terms of that matchup. Help me out with his name. whatever. It doesn't matter. Washington won, baby.
But yeah.
The key is.
Yeah.
Right. And Terry McLaurin outside the first touchdown, a little bit limited. The biggest thing, Ben, was that when the game was on the line and the defense stepped up and they forced the kick by Elliott with basically a minute and a half left, you knew Jaden Daniels had life, and he stepped up. He continued to make first downs. And then once they were in striking distance, he took his kill shot. And what a performance with five touchdowns. Amazing.
I mean, it really is, Joe. Number five, overcoming five turnovers with five touchdown tosses to get the Commanders to their 10th win already. 10-5 now for Washington. Joe, the first time in more than a decade, this Washington franchise has won 10 games in a regular season.
Amazing.
And they keep Philadelphia, at least at the moment, from clinching the NFC East. The Eagles will take on the Cowboys week number 17 with a win. Philly wins the division, but Washington in pole position to claim at least a playoff berth, if not even give Philly a tough time for the division. Joe, because of the loss for the Eagles, more than likely they are out now of the running to be that number one overall seed in the NFC. It's really a battle between divisional mates, that being Detroit and Minnesota. You talked about it. The Vikings making eight straight wins with Philly snapping that 10-game win streak because of the loss to the Commanders yesterday. Minnesota has the longest active win streak in the National Football League. Eight straight, 13-2, and a big win yesterday in Seattle, 27-24 on that NFL Sunday slate. They cover as a closing 2.5-point favorite, a total in the mid-40s. Goes over and Sam Darnold, Joe, nearly 250, three touchdowns, and not a single turnover once again. What can't you say about this Vikings team? Do not overlook 13-win Minnesota.
Resilient. That's all I can say. And it's different than the team that, you know, was there a couple of years ago with Kirk Cousins, right? 13-3 overall, you know, and sort of played down to the competition. They have stepped up. Now, I will say, when you just look at their road wins this year, very narrow. And that was the reason why that 2.5, 3.5 spread yesterday really came into play, right? They win it again by three. You look at some of the games that they had played on the road. Chicago, they win by three. They played Jacksonville, won by five. Beat Tennessee by 10. So some of the games in that narrow, an average margin of right around 6 points per game. But Sam Darnold, Justin Jefferson, that had 144 receiving yards, found a way to exploit Seattle's defense. And that's all you can ask for. Again, these teams do it in different ways. And just think about the NFC and the teams as a whole at the top of the AFC and NFC respectively. Buffalo has won 8 of the last 9. Detroit, prior to that loss last week to the Buffalo, right, they've won 12 of 13. The Eagles were on a 10-game win streak before they lost over the weekend. And now Minnesota, with an 8-game win streak, these teams are really coming and peaking in at just the right time. They're going to be a very difficult out, Ben, come playoff time.
The Vikings 13-2 straight up, Joe. In those 13 victories, 10-2-1 against the spread. The fifth time in the last six games, Sam Darnold has thrown for at least multiple touchdown passes without an interception. Justin Jefferson, 10 grabs, a buck 44, and two touchdowns. Plenty more from the Sunday slate next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, continuing to recap everything from week number 16 around the NFL. Joe, Minnesota is 13-2, but so too are the Detroit Lions. 13 wins, the most in a regular season in franchise history, in a statement made by the Lions, who we all were reminded this week, Joe, despite the numerous significant injuries Detroit will face for the remainder of the regular season in what they all hope is a historic playoff run. Do not count out Dan Campbell and those biting kneecap boys from the Motor City. In fact, it was Dan Campbell earlier in the week that said, sometime you've been eating filet for too long, you got to taste moldy bread once again. Well, the mold inspired bold. 34-17, a victory for the Lions in Chicago. They cover as a 6.5-point road favorite. Total of 47 and a hook goes over. Now, the Bears are not a good team. They've lost their juice. They've lost 9 consecutive games. But for Detroit to respond in the way they did, with how impressive the Lions looked in the Windy City, outdoors in the cold, mind you, a big victory for Detroit.
Absolutely, Ben. I broke it down on Pro Football Today when we actually, you know, previewed the game. They were 6-0 prior to the game on the road, right? And they had won those games by an average margin of victory of 13.1 points per game. They are now 7-0. They win that game by margin and another double-digit win. Think about the double-digit wins that they have had on the road. They beat up Green Bay by 10 points, right, in the slop. So this team is not just a dome type of team where if somehow, some way, they don't make it to, let's just say, the number one overall seed, they could still play in a cold weather environment if it does play out that way. I love this team right now. And, they're overcoming adversity. Jared Goff, 336 through the air. We saw Jahmyr Gibbs take over the game on the ground. Their defense still finds ways with backups and second and third teamers. It's just a plug-and-play type of team, and Dan Campbell gets the most out of them. Now, are they as dominant as they were at the start of the year? Absolutely not. But that doesn't mean that offense, Ben, can't outscore opponents maybe 46-40 like we saw that shootout with Buffalo. It's possible. So anything is possible the rest of the way. Another dominant effort, and Dan Campbell has done a fantastic job with this team, keeping them focused week to week.
Joe, a lot has been made about Detroit and what would happen if they didn't earn the one seed and had to play on the road in the elements. To your point, 7-0 straight up, away from Detroit this year, 6-1 against the spread, with the only non-cover, by the way, also indoors in Houston against the Texans, in which they overcame 5 INTs thrown by Jared Goff. Yesterday, no interceptions, 336 yards, 3 touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs, he's doing it all now without David Montgomery. 23 carries, 109 yards on the ground in Chicago, and a touchdown. Detroit, still in pole position in the NFC North. They've already beaten the Vikings once this year in Minnesota. The two will end the season against each other week 18 in the Motor City. The Lions right now -290 to win the division. Detroit plays in San Francisco on Monday night, week 17. Minnesota, Joe, in week 17 will have a football game before they have their regular season finale, as I track it down, against the Green Bay Packers, a difficult divisional duel for Minnesota before we get to that regular season finale. So -290 for Detroit to win the division, now -300 for the Lions, given the Eagles' loss to the Commanders to take that number one overall seed in the NFC. How about the other divisional races, right? Seattle losing at home to Minnesota on Sunday. The Rams, who a lot of people thought were in a difficult spot, on the road against Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. Had they found their old groove like it was 2018 in Green Bay? Don't matter. LA, after a 1-4 start, has won 8 of its last 10. They beat the Jets by double digits, 19-9 in MetLife. Los Angeles covers as a 3-point road favorite in Chile, East Rutherford, New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, and, that start was due to injuries, right? They started 1-4 because Kupp and Puka were out for that lineup of, week 3-7 and then the offensive line. But Sean McVay has done a fantastic job. They trailed 9-6, but they could run the football with Kyren Williams. Once they got the lead, never surrendered. And that defense is starting to come into form. Ben, but don't break unit with Jared Verse. Keep an eye out for LA. NFC playoffs are going to be quite interesting this year.
The Rams now in pole position, -750 to win the NFC West, and it feels fitting. Everything else you need to know from the football weekend for the final 2 weeks of the NFL regular season next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
There is no doubt that Buffalo's bid to be the AFC number one overall seed took a shot because Patrick Mahomes is really not all that injured, and the Chiefs won in Week 16. The Bills needing to handle their own business to win out and even have a shot at home field advantage in the opening round bye were tested, frankly, as a 14.5-point favorite against the Patriots in week number 16. Buffalo still wins outright 24-21, but just by a field goal as a 14.5-point home favorite against New England. Total of 47.5 stays under, snapping an 8-game streak where Buffalo had scored at least 30, but Buffalo has won 9 of its last 10. The Patriots, Joe, are just 3-12 straight up this year, but they are 6-8-1 against the spread and held an early 14-zip lead in the opening half against Buffalo Sunday, week number 16.
Yeah, and Drake May played well, right? 261, I believe, 2 touchdowns. I actually thought that New England would be live from the spread perspective, and you look at the gauntlet that the Buffalo Bills had played up until that point, right? They had emotional games against Kansas City and then obviously Miami during that span, and then the game against Detroit, and now you come back home to face a team that was just 2-7 on the road, or 2-6 in terms of New England. You know, just from that perspective, I thought New England would be live as a double-digit underdog. But again, you saw the performance. They found a way to pull it out by 3 points. The biggest thing for me, you can run the football with the Buffalo Bills. It's not just Josh Allen, right? Granted, he's one of the best playmakers at the quarterback position, but James Cook backs it up with another 100-yard performance on the ground. He had 105 2 weeks ago against Detroit. You get that type of effort, not just in terms of the regular season, but if you get that in the road type of environment going up potentially against Pat Mahomes and Kansas City, now you're cooking with fire. So the biggest, weakest link of Buffalo right now is the defense. You don't know what you're going to get. Are you going to get the performance that you had against Detroit for the first half, or are you going to get the second half performance and what we saw play out this past weekend against New England? That's the biggest and biggest question that Buffalo needs to answer in the playoffs.
James Cook, 126 scrimmage yards, 2 total touchdowns. We shall see about what the rest of this season has in the AFC. Joe, oftentimes, if you're on the outside looking in at the playoffs, you're not only just hoping to earn a bid and lock up that spot, but if you have a ways to go, you don't want anything to happen where you get eliminated from postseason contention. And every team that still has some sort of hope and optimism in the AFC wildcard chase is still in the running. That means the Bengals beat the Browns on Sunday. The Dolphins edged out the San Francisco 49ers in the Indianapolis Colts, took care of business in a divisional duel against the Tennessee Titans. Let's start with the Bengals, Joe. They win 24-6 against Dorian Thompson-Robinson and the Browns. 9.5-point spread in favor of Cincy. They win comfortably at home.
Yeah, and I watched that game play out. They were up 17-6, and DTR did have Cleveland within the red zone. They had some critical penalties, and Cincinnati does get an interception in the end zone that really changed the momentum. Otherwise, Cincinnati might have won but not covered in terms of that ball game. But at the end of the day, they still found a way to pull it out, right? Their defense a little bit better. I want to say it couldn't be any worse than what we saw in the middle season getting sliced and diced by some of those offenses. But again, this is going to hinge on everything falling right for the Cincinnati Bengals. They need to take care of business against Denver. And obviously in week number 18, they're going to need some help. But if they could be 9-8 in a one-game situation, if they sneak into the playoffs with Chase Higgins and Joey Silk, anything's possible, right, Ben. I don't know if they can make it to the final finish line, but that offense could play with anyone.
There's no doubt about it, Joe. And the offense has not been the issue this year. Joe Burrow certainly has not been the problem. 252 and 3 touchdowns yesterday for Joey B, including the first of the day where he was parallel with the turf and somehow got a throw off in full Superman spread to T. Higgins for a touchdown. Seventh consecutive game for Joe Burrow with at least 250 passing yards and three passing touchdowns at least in the same game. First player in NFL history to ever do that seven times in a row. Huge game for the Bengals. Week 17 on Saturday. They're a 3-point home favorite against the Broncos. They win that, there is some life in week 18 for Cincinnati. Everybody, the Colts, the Bengals, the Dolphins need some help, but they have to keep winning games as Miami did, Joe, at home in week 16 and the Sunday slate. We learned right before kick that the 49ers had been eliminated from playoff consideration because of Washington's dramatic comeback against Philadelphia. The 49ers went into the game, though, as a slight favorite against the Dolphins, who, Joe, when booked as a dog under Mike McDaniel, it has not been a recipe for success. At least on Sunday, it was. Miami wins outright 29-17 as a slight home dog. Just the fifth outright win as a dog with Mike McDaniel as the head coach since 2022 in 21 specific games booked as the underdog.
It is amazing, right, that entering week 17, if I would have told you at the start of the year, yeah, San Francisco would be not win the division, eliminated from the playoffs. Eliminated. It's amazing, yeah, to think about the price that they had, right? And they started to play, it looked like a Dallas type of effort early in the first half. Second half, the defense wore down. And the biggest thing for me is it wasn't so much Tua and the passing attack. We know Miami can do that. That has never been a cause of concern for the Dolphins. In critical games against more physical teams, the Dolphins have issues running the football, and Devon Achane took care of that yesterday with that performance, right? He breaks big runs consistently in the second half. That's what changed the complexity of that ball game. And if Miami can find a hint of a rushing attack, yeah, the rest of the way and they get into the playoffs, they maybe can make some noise. I don't think they'll get there, but again, a great effort at home over San Francisco yesterday, especially with Jalen Waddle out of that lineup.
Brock Purdy threw for a ton of yards. George Kittle involved. Debo Samuel, arguably his best game of the season. And Joe, based on preseason expectation, no team has failed more or been more disappointing than that of the 49ers. Yes, you can blame injuries, and there were so many injuries to key significant players. But we have been told for years that everybody on this team is highly talented in San Francisco. They were the short favorites to at least play in a fifth consecutive NFC championship game or five times in the last 6 years to maybe get to a Super Bowl for the third time in the last six seasons. They're going to fall short of that, eliminated yesterday or on Sunday from playoff consideration. Miami still alive. Indianapolis, Joe, 38-30, the win over Tennessee. That game got tight. Indy was up 38-7 late in the third quarter. The Colts hold on for a victory against the Titans. And Jonathan Taylor, 2 weeks ago in Denver. Colts were up by a score early in the second half. Should have been two touchdowns. JT dropped the football before crossing the pylon. He atoned at least in part for that on Sunday. 29 carries, 218 yards, three rushing scores against Tennessee. Indianapolis covers as a 4.5-point home favorite.
What a difference a week makes, right? You mentioned the matchup a couple of weeks ago against Denver where, you know, 24 points they got outscored in terms of the second half and they lost. Their playoff hopes were on the line in terms of that ball game in Mile High. But this past weekend, they stepped up. They were angry. You saw the performance out of the offensive line. You saw the performance out of Jonathan Taylor. And the biggest thing, he ran to the back of the end zone. That's what you got to do, Jonathan, right? Make sure you pass the goal line. But this offense is starting to come into form at the end of the regular season.
Between two teams that were already well out of the playoffs, the Raiders beat the Jags at home in Vegas. 19-14. Congrats. You now have a worse draft pick because of it at this moment. College football playoff conversations. And there are many next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
History was made this weekend in football. The first ever 12-team college football playoff that led to many, many a reaction. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. We welcome you back to Football Full Circle right here on Sports Grid Radio. Four games, Lisi guy, in the opening round of the first ever 12-team college football playoff in the history of this sport. The most teams with the most opportunity in a postseason to win a national championship. But that does not mean it was always going to be even nor equal. All four games, the home team that was booked as the favorite wins in covers and wins by at least double digits. Average margin of victory, 19.3 points per game. But there were some Lisi guys that in the first four games of the first ever opening round of the largest ever field to compete in a college football playoff that said, we've made a critical mistake. It should never be 12 teams. We should have never have expanded. It has done horrible things to this sport. I am often starting to wonder, Lisi guy, if those that love college football, like they say they do, like we do, really do love college football. There is so much to break down. We'll get through all four games. But, Joe, what was your reaction to the first ever weekend of the first ever 12-team college football playoff?
I thought it was epic. I really did. And I'm not even just talking about the outcomes. I'm talking about the scenes which we saw play out. You know, the scene in Happy Valley at Beaver Stadium. You know, the cold environments in Columbus. That's what college football is about. You know, to see Clemson travel to Austin that you would never see potentially in a middle of a regular season or, you know, in a postseason for that matter. That's what I really took away. I don't care that there were blowouts. That's part of the game. We had it with the BCS era. We certainly had it with the college football 4-team playoff. And now we have it with the 12-team playoff. But those people that say, you know, deserving versus best, you know, we really need to set that aside because, again, the expansion was supposed to let teams like the Boise States, like the Indianas, like the SMUs, an opportunity to showcase their talent with the elite teams in the Power Four conferences. That's what it was meant to be. Now we change the narrative saying, well, it's the best team. So then if that's the case, then just get the Big Ten and the SEC, take the top 12 teams, let them square off, and we won't have college football the way we know it, Ben. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It really is, Joe, because again, that idea of best versus deserving has always been subjective. Unlike the National Football League or other postseasons where you earn a playoff spot based on having this sort of record or having a tiebreaker advantage, the only teams in the 12-team college football playoff field that earn a playoff spot are those that win a conference championship and are ranked as the five highest conference title winners to get the automatic bid. Outside of that, it is subjective. And how those, Lisi guy, that looked at the first four games and maybe an imperfect formula in a format that has some issues and said, nope, I used to champion expansion, not anymore. Forget what we have seen for the last 10 years. The 20 semifinal games we had in the decade-long history of the four-team format in the college football playoff. Average margin, 17.9 points per game. Only 7 of the 20 decided by a single score. And that's the semifinal round, let alone the final, the championship, which half of the 10 have been decided by at least 3 touchdowns, with an average margin of 21.4 points per game. College football is unique. It is uneven. Even at the highest level of the sport, there have been blowouts. There will be blowouts. Blowouts might happen. But, Joe, those that championed expansion, wanted the regular season to still have significance. Teams that maybe lose a game in week number one get a chance to earn it and still prove it later in the year and have something to play for weeks 5, 6, 7, and beyond. We certainly saw that this year in 2024, in a year that featured more parity than ever, which is something we normally like until we see a team like Indiana get into the college football playoff and we lose our collective minds. Not you and I. We are hashtag never daunted. But one of the reasons as well, Joe, that we loved expansion was the idea that the ultimate determination between how good a team was or how maybe faulty their resume looked would be on the football field. Not magazine writers, not a goddarn computer, certainly not elite members of a boardroom in Grapevine, Texas. It would be the actual football games that would matter the most, not hypothetical arguments or hypothetical point spreads or hypothetical matchups. Actual football games and the results of the playing surface make the difference. So if Indiana loses by double digits against Notre Dame, then they were not worthy of being a national championship contender. But it does not take away from their 12-game sample size in a regular season where they beat the teams they were supposed to and did not lose to any of the bad teams on the resume, which is a lot more than many teams around the country could ever say. And how we have lost sight of that in a week, in 2 weeks, in a year, that's the part where I'm starting to question if people actually love college football, the sport, or love the debate around college football in a boardroom more.
No, I agree 100%. And I'll just say this, you know, the game that really piqued the curiosity of an expanded playoff or really got things going about Cinderella was really in the middle part of the 2000s when we saw Zabransky and Ian Johnson for Boise State knock off Adrian Peterson in Oklahoma. If we could only have Boise State or Cinderella square off, and now we have that opportunity. Is it going to happen 9 out of 10 times? Absolutely not, but you're still going to have that upset that are going to make people say, see, this is why we did it. It happens in college basketball. Now we have it in college football, and it's great.
When a 5 beats a 12 in March Madness by 15 points as they were expected to, we're never like, see, that 12 seed did not deserve the chance. It's different in college football. We'll talk about the actual results of this opening weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, recapping the opening weekend of the first ever 12-team college football playoff. Lisi Guy, let's go in chronological order. It started on a Friday night in snowy South Bend, where Notre Dame was dominant, despite what the final score might show. Actually, the lowest margin of victory for anybody so far in the 12-team history of the college football playoff. Notre Dame still wins by double digits, 27-17, easily covering as a touchdown favorite in South Bend. Indiana scored 2 touchdowns in the final 90 seconds of regulation, including after recovering an onside kick to make the final score seem a little bit tighter than it really was. But Joe, if it's been against non-MAC foes this year, the Irish have been downright impressive and dominant. Now 10-0-1. Against the number, against teams that don't play in the Mid-American.
Yeah, I mean, they have one of the best secondaries in all of college football, and they showcased that again against Curtis Schwark. Opportunistic in the first quarter after Indiana had a critical turnover against Riley Leonard. They come right back. They shut down the rushing attack. That was a rushing attack that was averaging .174 on the ground, made them completely one-dimensional. And again, in the trenches, they could play with anybody. SEC, Big Ten, you name the team. The Fighting Irish are built to really go the long haul for a national championship. The X factor is Riley Leonard, big picture. But if they play the way they did this past weekend against Indiana, where they could run it for 5 yards a carry, 194 yards on the ground, Riley Leonard might not have to throw the football the rest of the college football playoffs. So that's big picture. It's a great game this coming weekend against Georgia. We'll see how it plays out.
Sugar Bowl against Georgia, the nightcap on New Year's Day to kick off 2025. Georgia opened as a slight favorite, now a 2.5-point favorite against the Fighting Irish. First game on Saturday, in-state college. Penn State blows out SMU 38-10. Three first-half interceptions by the Nittany Lion defense against SMU's quarterback, Kevin Jennings. Two of them brought back for a touchdown. Two of them by the same one guy. That would be Dominic DeLuca for Penn State. There's your guy, Dominic DeLuca, not Kamani Vitale. That would be Dominic DeLuca taking it back for the Nittany Lions. Penn State wins big 38-10, covering as an 8.5-point home favorite.
Did Kevin Jennings realize he was playing for SMU or Penn State in that game? Because critical decisions in the first half really hurt the momentum. SMU had the early momentum on the first drive. After the fourth down, they didn't convert. Obviously, that changed the whole complexity. Turnovers killed them, and they were uphill the rest of the way. You know, this team for Penn State still has to answer some questions, but it was a dominant home effort. They move on to face Boise State. We'll see if they could shut down Eschen Genty this weekend, but it's going to be an amazing battle. This game really can make or break Penn State season, because they lose to Boise State. James Franklin has a lot of answering to do.
The Nittany Lions still a double-digit favorite against Eschen Genty and the Broncos in the Fiesta Bowl on New Year's Eve. Lisi Guy's second game on Saturday featured our only game of the four in the opening round of the CFP. That was at least a single-score game at some point in the fourth quarter. That was Clemson and Texas in Austin. Clemson scored a touchdown with just under 12 minutes remaining. And then two plays later, Jaden Blue, 77 yards to the house. That brought a big smile to the face of Joseph Lisi, I am sure. Big day for Texas on the ground, Joe. Nearly 300 yards in four rushing scores. Texas beats Clemson 38-24, closing as a 13.5-point favorite, covering the number and going well over a total of 50.5. Tough for you, Lisi Guy, who bet the under, I know.
Yeah. That a boy, Blue, best bet on Saturday, ripping off runs in regards to that battle. And the critical fourth down stop, right? That game could have been 7 points with about 5 minutes left. They stuffed Cade Klubnik and the Clemson offense to make that potentially a 7-point game. But their offense was humming, baby. That's the one thing that Steve Sarkisian really hasn't seen all year. The only game I really saw it was the dominating home win in Florida in the middle part of the year. We didn't see it in bigger matchups. They showcased their speed, especially running the football with Blue and Wisner. If they can play like that, that defense can carry them as well. We'll see how they fare the rest of the way.
Longhorns 2-touchdown favorite in the Peach Bowl against Arizona State. And Ohio State absolutely obliterates Tennessee 42-17, covering as a 7.5-point home favorite in the Shoe. The rematch against Oregon and the granddaddy of them all under the San Gabriel Mountains. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. Thanks for tuning in to Football Full Circle.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.